From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, October 2nd, 2025. Forecasters estimate that parts of Maine need more than 12 inches of rain to overcome severe drought. Sarah Jamieson with the National Weather Service says the window is closing to receive the needed rain before the winter sets in. That's because once the ground freezes, it can absorb precipitation.
6 to 12 inches of precipitation between now and when the ground freezes is kind of a big hurdle. And if we don't manage to overcome that, then we've got to start thinking about if this is going to be here for the long haul.
October and November are normally the wettest months of the year in Maine. More than a million people in the state are living in at least severe drought, including dozens who have reported dry wells. New consumer products containing forever chemicals will be outlawed in Maine next year after regulators denied exemptions for goods, including nonstick cookware. The Board of Environmental Protection voted that most items do not qualify for a currently unavoidable use of PFAS. The ban extends to upholstered furniture, cosmetics, cleaners, and other common items. Maine was one of the first states to pass a PFAS products ban. The family of durable synthetic chemicals has been linked to human health problems. Acadia National Park will remain partially open during the government shutdown, following orders from the National Park Service to keep parks as accessible as possible. But visitors will still see some differences, says Eric Stiles of Friends of Acadia. The Hull's Cove Visitor Center and other federal buildings will be closed, and ranger programs, family programming, and school trips will be canceled. Another major change is that the park won't be able to collect entrance fees from visitors. And Stiles says that's money the park won't get back, even after the government shutdown ends.
80% of those fees are reinvested in the park. That is, people that are coming here that are paying for the experience are also 80 cents on the dollar is going right back into Acadia National Park.
Last October, Acadia collected roughly $1.5 million in entrance fees, and Stiles says that's funding the park can't afford to lose this year. Meantime, furloughed federal workers in Maine can apply for unemployment benefits during the government shutdown, according to the state's Labor Department. But Maine federal employees who are considered essential and are working without pay cannot apply for unemployment. Federal workers must call the state's unemployment office to start a claim. Meantime, under a new state law, furloughed and working federal employees in Maine may be able to apply for a no-interest loan through their bank. Employees are eligible for the loans worth up to $6,000 if the shutdown lasts longer than a week. Federal workers should contact their lending institutions directly to see whether they will participate in the program. President Trump has nominated current Maine District Court judge and former homicide prosecutor Andrew Benson to serve as the U.S. attorney for the District of Maine. Maddie Smith has more.
Benson lives in Athens and has served as a judge on the Maine District Court since 2014. He was a prosecutor for 15 years before that, and he attended UMaine and the University of Maine Law School. Senator Susan Collins says she supports his nomination. Benson still awaits confirmation by the U.S. Senate. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
The software company that has come under fire from students and staff at Maine's community colleges for problems with course registration, financial aid letters, and transcript access has filed for bankruptcy. Anthology filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy this week in U.S. bankruptcy court in Texas in an effort to eliminate the company's debt and restructure. Officials expect the process to take 3 to 6 months. Meantime, business operations will continue. Maine Community College System President Dave Daigler said in a statement that the system is monitoring the situation closely. It's a time-honored tradition in northern Maine dating back to the 1940s. Every fall, schools in Aroostook County allow students to take 3 weeks off to help harvest potatoes. Farmers no longer need them like they once did, and only a handful of schools still embrace the tradition. But as Michael Livingston reports, the students learn life lessons they can't get in the classroom.
You can smell starch in the air as tractors kick up dirt and semi-trucks filled with potatoes can be seen rolling through towns. It's the first week of harvest, and farmers are racing to gather their crop before the frost. At Porter Farms in Presque Isle, 17-year-old Maddie Putnam grabs oozy, rotten potatoes as they tumble down a conveyor belt.
Well, the brown ones are definitely, you can like tell just by looking at them, they have like this like white gooey stuff, and there's definitely a smell that comes with it.
The smell to me is almost like a little bit of like bad breath is the best way I can describe it.
Carter Vigue's job is to pick out the rocks.
You can hear them hit on the metal parts of the line, so that'll give you an indicator for when to find those. It's definitely, it gets drilled right into your head. Like sometimes you'll have a dream about it almost, but.
The students' days are long. Work begins as early as 5:30 a.m. and can go past 8 hours, which is legally allowed when not in school. And once they clock out, many will go straight to evening sports practice. But Putnam says she'd rather be here than in the classroom.
I mean, out here I get paid.
At Porter Farms, the students make about $19 an hour.
I've been saving it for the past 4 years that I've been working harvest. Most of it has gone to my car. You know, definitely senior year going into college and stuff like that, I want to be able to have like a good foundational savings in my back pocket.
Farm owner Matt Porter says it's rewarding to be able to give high school students a job.
Maybe love it, maybe hate it, but get to understand how hard work earns a big paycheck. And it's just it's a great lesson in life of what we all get to do once we get out of high school.
Some school boards have canceled or scaled back their harvest breaks, in part because of lost classroom time. To make it up, they're required to start the school year earlier. Ben Greenlaw is the superintendent at Maine School Administrative District 1, which includes the towns of Presque Isle, Mapleton, Chapman, Castle Hill, and Westfield. He says last year, about 75 high school students took part in the harvest.
If you asked 100 people in the community, I think you'd get it pretty close to right down the middle for the people that would like to see it continue and for the people that would like to see us modified in some way, shape, or form.
About 7 years ago, his school board voted to eliminate the harvest break, but walked back on its decision after outcry from farmers. Potatoes, after all, are the state's top agricultural product, and in Aroostook County, where 90% of them are grown, potatoes are a way of life. Dozens of Aroostook County growers still hire students for harvest break, even though mechanized farming has made them less essential than they once were.
I can remember 12, 13 years old, and somebody wouldn't show up or somebody was sick, and they would come down to the potato house and grab me, and I'd be out there on the harvester.
Sixth-generation farmer Robbie Irving says it used to take a team of people to operate a harvester, a large machine that digs up potatoes and loads them on trucks. But new automatic harvesters can process twice the amount in faster time.
We're putting in just volumes of potatoes that we couldn't even begin to put in, you know, 10 years ago.
Irving says even though he hires fewer students, the lessons they learn on the job are the reasons to keep the tradition alive.
It's a labor of love, and it's really something that a lot of kids, you know, once they work a harvest, they obviously have a greater appreciation for the work that we do, but they also have a greater appreciation of what it means to so many people. Mm-hmm. Like you're literally feeding America.
At one of his storage barns, Irving watches as his 15-year-old son Carter uses a forklift to move debris, and then jumps into a tractor at least three times his height.
Well, I mean, it's like driving a truck, except a little harder and you don't need a license. I mean, you just got to get taught how to do everything. I mean, around here, you just have to get taught how to do anything, and my dad is the perfect person to do that for you. And yeah, I don't hate a thing. I love all of it.
For some kids, harvest break is a way to earn some extra money and develop a strong work ethic. For others, like Carter Irving, it's an education in taking over the family business, something they aren't likely to learn in school. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, heat and its impacts on Maine schools, wildlife, and the economy. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.